coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Friday, September 10th, 2021. Tomorrow commemorates the 20th anniversary of the attacks on America, 9/11/2001. In my view, that was an official launch of the kinetic part of the war by the globalists against the United States and really against the West. And of course, Mr. Marbles getting on television yesterday, and notice it was at 5 p.m. Eastern. All right. So, as opposed to prime time, and he's never done a prime time address. Well, with, I think, one exception. Doesn't that raise a lot of questions? You know, civil war is on the horizon, but, I have a great show, and we're jammed for time right now. First hour, because of the scheduling conflicts this week, Stan Dale from standale.com been kind enough to join us this evening as well, the first hour this evening. So I'm really excited to have him today, especially now, especially on the day before the 20th year after 9/11/2001. Real quick, before we – and I do want to say this, having been to New York right there before, of course, and through the Trade Center Towers and having clients in the Trade Center Towers, losing friends and then being there after the buildings came down and before the rubble was clean and behind the crime scene tape, seeing what I saw, I'm going to be on my knees thanking God today for... I'm going to be on my knees praying for this country, praying for the West. And, you should be too. Pray. Before we get further, I want to show you this. This from 9/11/2001. It's 30 seconds. Go ahead and play it. There's no sound to this, folks. So if you're listening to this on Global Star, that's Building 7 in a free fall collapse. Any questions at 5:21? P.M. Eastern Time on November 11th, 2001. Building 7 in a free fall collapse. And there's the repeated showings or the loop of that. And I think this is from, okay, this is from a different angle here, a different source. All right. Folks, I want you to remember that. And remember people saying, building who, building what? Building what? Who? Let's never forget the fact that that was, in my view, the beginning of the kinetic war in modern times by the globalists. Now, my mantra is where the truth can't be silenced, but I would also add this. If you're not angry, you're not paying attention. All right. This, from Stan Dale, from standale.com. Stan, I'm going to leave this. If you're watching this as opposed to listening to this, and again, welcome to the listeners from Global Star, from all the platforms. Thank you so much for listening and making this broadcast so popular, 1.55 million downloads in the last 30 days. And I want to just, again, say thank you so very much for all who subscribe on Rumble and subscribe on Brighteon. But Stan, there is an image on the screen, lest we forget. It's a stained glass image, it appears to me. Welcome and describe this, please.
Well, 9/11 occurred, 20 years ago to the date tomorrow. And Holly was so moved by it that she made a stained glass representation of it, which is still here hanging in our place. And it reminds us constantly about that attack and the need to be ever vigilant. But it also saddens us in a way to see the people in the White House destroying all this, all of the United States and what it stands for. At this point, I want to say it's time for some action, some executive action to get rid of these people that are attacking the United States now, still within the United States. And that includes, you know, the Bidens and his team and those behind him. He's just a mouthpiece anyway.
You know,
it's going to be interesting.
Amen. And I just want to ask you this. Now I can't really get like a sense of scale to that, of that stained glass window. That's beautiful, by the way. Holly, your wife made that. How big is it?
Yeah. It's about 20 inches in diameter.
All right. Wow. That's very, very pretty, folks. And it's on your website. Am I right?
I haven't put the picture up on the website. I don't know, actually. Let me just see if I put it up today.
Thought maybe it was just from earlier that.
Well, it might be tomorrow. She's got pictures of 9/11, you know, things on the show, images of the day. But I think tomorrow she may put that up. We talked about it, and I don't see it there, so it's tomorrow.
Very talented and very moving, in fact. Very solemn, folks. Very, very, very solemn. And again, thank you for sharing that, and thank you, Holly, for doing that. God bless you. Remember America. Remember American ideals, and remember why we must fight. All right, Stan, this hour is all yours, my brother. I'm glad to see you, and thanks again for being so flexible.
Hello?
With your time. Hello? Can you hear me? Is this thing on?
Oh, sorry. There's been a lot of traffic on the internet this evening, and understandably so, but it's causing you to freeze occasionally, causing me to freeze.
Oh, that's just freezing. It's just, no, that's my, I'll just freeze, you know. That's just natural. You'd think it's the camera, but it's really me. Go ahead.
Sir. And then you've got guests that sit here and go,
you know,
and the tech back there goes, what, turn that volume on.
You know, and Eric, the tech, it's Friday. I just want to say, folks and Stan, you know, I'm very lucky to have Eric, the tech in the studio. God bless that man. He's done more, in this week, more different things this week.
We're burnout.
Burnout, crispy critters. We are crispy critters. I got to tell you, thank God it's Friday. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
TG. Right. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Now you were mentioning this, you know, we were talking about 9/11, but that's 20 years ago. And I was watching a segment on Fox News today where they were talking about interviewing people that are, you know, 20 years old and maybe 18 to 20 who had no idea, you know, weren't actually watching TV or, you know, cognizant of what was happening in 9/11 and year 2001. And they were saying, well, what do you think about this? You know, what caused it? And they were so ignorant of this. It just astounded me. I think one person said, you know, that it was what it was about. But the majority of them were like, you know, this flaky generation we've got floating around now, poorly educated by the education system that the left, the Biden-esque people have destroyed and warped so that our young people have no idea of our history of the United States, even recent or our old history. And it reminded me how there's some kind of a warning on the government website about the Constitution of the United States, warning this is, you know, a document that doesn't conform to wokeism. And I, you know, that's got to tell people out there, even Democrats who are pretty dumb most of the time, look, your country is being destroyed by your party that you voted in and are supporting. You're going to be in a communist regime shortly. And, you know, it's like there's a great deception, a cloth over their mind or brain. They just cannot see the truth. I'm just flabbergasted at this.
To me, anyway. You know, to me, the battle lines have been drawn. They were drawn a long time ago. We should have recognized the previous, you know, we keep moving the line in the sand. We keep moving backwards and backwards and backwards. And at this point now, I, you know, at this point, we were left, in my view, we are left with no other alternative than to make a stand. And when we do, and by the way, that's not going to look, in my view, when we make a stand, it's not going to look the way the deep state and the left and the progressives and the communists think it's going to look. It's going to look a hell of a lot different because, I just, from what I've read and what I've researched, what I've investigated, who I talked to, And I can tell you this, Stan, there are a lot of people out there who are making plans. And, from what I see, it's going to be like a Americans are going to feel like they're going to get, they just got socked in the mouth from Mike Tyson. And I believe that. But go ahead, sir. The hour's yours.
Yeah, well, look, I understand it completely. I certainly am aware of things behind the scenes that are going to do what you're saying. You know, in 1960, my dad and his brothers, our entire family, formed Timely Publications and started distributing books by J. Edward Salley and others, Naked Communist, Naked Capitalist, all these things to warn the people of the United States that we were already being invaded by fifth columnists from Russia, you know, from the communist nation. And if, and that's what, 40, that's 61 years ago, my family started warning people, wake up, don't let this happen. And, you know, the enemy, if you wish, the fifth columnists in this country were so numerous, already implanted after the World War II ended, that we couldn't stop them. We were just one little speck trying to warn people. And we got with the John Birch Society people and got their database, sent things out to them. And so for a while, we had a couple million Americans that were aware and protesting, and then they went to sleep, you know, and here we are. This is the result. We're going to have to go through it. It's going to be a revolution or, you know, a fighting war. It's going to be that way.
To me, this is a very solemn time, not just a solemn, you know, day tomorrow and time today and day tomorrow, but a very solemn time for our country and for, you know, my family, because, you know, you see it. I mean, Holly had the foresight to write Dare to Prepare. You saw it back in 76, well, in the 60s and in the 70s, and subsequently wrote Cosmic Conspiracy. You've got a website that every day brings people the information. You have a product, specifically a product, the EMP Shield, to help people. You know, you have done more, in my estimation, you've done more to inform people than, you know, I was going to say the government ever has, but than most people ever have. So I want to thank you and Holly for that. And thank you for keeping us in the know. And thank you for allowing us to be part of your lives. You know, I don't want to make this sound like a goodbye kind of segment, but you know, in a sense, it is kind of a, life is not going to be normal after the declaration of war by Comrade Biden yesterday, in my view. In my view, that was a declaration of war. So, okay. And by the way, Biden, bite me and try to enforce what you just said. Oh, and you know, isn't it funny that the Postal Service is exempt from that? Gee, I wonder if that has anything to do with 11-3, November 3rd, 2019. But I'm just, you know, just curious. All right. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, you know, I look back over the years since, you know, the 1960s when my family were fighting all this. And it's like we were appointed to be one of the major, you know, like wake up sources on the planet to what was happening. And, I'm glad that I was able to participate. My family were able to participate in this because, it is an honor, and many books and shows have been formed based on what we released and shared with the people. And certainly after 1978 and the Cosmic Conspiracy and then the Dare to Prepare in 1997, I think it was, 1998. You know, it's like we were called to this moment and to be a focal point to start getting other ministries and stuff aware of what is happening, what has happened, so they would do their own investigation and increase our knowledge about what is happening and prepare people. So we're proud to have been able to be a catalyst for that. So anyway, that's enough said on blowing the horn. But
I think all of our audience has to realize they were born for this moment too. So you folks out there, absolutely, whatever your mission in life is, whatever you know your email from God might be, read your own email and act on it. And don't forget, you're valuable. You're a big part of this.
Absolutely. To witness, you know, to witness out there to people who are now going to be frightened. When this stuff starts to go down, there are going to be people that wouldn't listen. You know, they could even be Christian, but wouldn't listen about the end time stuff. They didn't want to deal with prophecy. It's too complicated. Now we need to tell them, look, here's what's happening. Here's what has happened. And here's how you prepare for it. And, this you need to do about being saved and, you know, awake. And so to do that, the Lord needs the church, the bride that's out there now, to witness until the last moment, not sit down and wait for the rapture, but witness all the way to the rapture. you know, salient point. You know, we've got to do that.
That's right. That's right. We do. And that's, to me, that's one of the most important things in life to do, because we're saving, you know, it's one thing to save someone's life, but to save their soul for all of eternity, or to guide them to salvation is imperative, especially now, because we don't know how long we've got.
With Biden's announcement yesterday, a declaration of war, as it were, you know, it's saying, okay, if you're going to be one of those weird people that won't get the shot for whatever reason, then we're going to, you know, lock you up, or we're going to penalize you or whatever, and treating us as the enemy of the state. Well, I'm one of those people. You're one of those people. And my point to them, back to Biden and his crowd, is, look, if you don't like us and you don't want us to participate because, you know, we might catch COVID, if we do, we'll die. It won't be a problem to you. I don't see why you don't just leave us alone and let us die natural causes, and that'll solve your problem. Why do you have to lock us up and make all these mandates? It's just stupid. Anyway,
yeah.
I guess it looks like they're doing something. I don't know. Hmm. Yeah.
And folks, go to Stan Dale. Yeah, I just want to say, go to StanDale.com, StanDale.com. If you're visually challenged, if you're driving or otherwise can't see the screen, go to StanDale.com, click on Show Images, and follow along with us at a later time. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, you know, in the past, in slide 13 on our Show Images page, I've listed the candidates for Antichrist and false prophet, I guess, one or both. Now, the leading one for a long time has been Mohammed bin Salman, Prince bin Salman over in Saudi Arabia. And while we've been saying all this, well, we've been getting along on the surface anyway with the Saudis here. And it seems like they swept under the carpet the Saudi royal family's involvement in financing, you know, Osama bin Laden and others to attack the United States. Now it's coming to light, as you look at slide 37 on my Show Images page, the Saudis are signing, or did sign, a military cooperation agreement with Russia at an arms expo outside Moscow. It says the Saudi Deputy Defense Minister Khalid bin Salman, part of Mohammed bin Salman's family, announced on Twitter on August the 24th that he had signed the agreement with Russian Deputy Defense Minister Alexander Fomin, aimed at developing joint military cooperation between the two countries. Now, the United States and Russia are at war. Okay, whether it's been formally declared, we know we're at war and at risk very soon of being invaded on land and by air by Russia and China, and possibly by some Iranian troops down to the Mexican border coming across in the United States. When you see this, you have to realize that the Antichrist tag is certainly starting to focus on young bin Salman, Mohammed bin Salman. They've tricked us from, you know, before 9/11 throughout now, getting arms and weapons from us. And the Iranians, of course, have gotten a lot of our military weapons out of Afghanistan. I don't know what the arrangement between them and the Taliban was, but Iran is now operating with aircraft and weapons and stuff that the U.S. put into Afghanistan. Now, I don't think there'll be any nukes, but there might be. So to that end, we have to see what, you know, what is Israel doing at this point to protect themselves? They've got to make a preemptive strike against Iran. You know, look at slide 39. It says, Israeli foreign minister to Moscow, Israel reserves the right to act against Iran to prevent nukes. And, you know, if you click on the text, not the picture, you'll get to the article, which I'm doing now as we speak. And it's on Israel 365 News website, a site we go to quite frequently for news in the Middle East. And, you know, if you look at this, it tells you that Israel is making it public, not only saying it to the Russian minister, but to the world. We are justified in attacking various sites in Iran to get rid of their nuclear, you know, development program, because they have an avowed stated purpose of destroying Israel. Full stop. Now, if the Iranians have put nuclear facilities or development facilities in Damascus, you can understand why Damascus might disappear overnight into a heap of rubble, either by the hand of God or by Israel attacking. Now, in the area in Syria where Damascus is, around that area, probably within 100 miles, there are a number of black failed volcanoes that throw up rubble, black, rocks and things to form a rubble heap. if one of those occurs by an act of God underneath Damascus and buries it in these, you know, magmatic igneous rocks, then that's an act of God overnight. It swamps Damascus. Either way, you know, I see Damascus going down soon. And I hope it's by the hand of God rather than by Israel, so that they're not blamed for this. But either way, Damascus is going to fulfill prophecy and become a ruinous heap overnight, somehow, very soon.
Well, there goes my rental over there, my rental property in Damascus, my bed and breakfast, I guess. That's wasn't a good idea. It wasn't a good investment. No, but I agree with you on this. It's and that's very interesting. Wow. Okay. But yes, I'm certainly in agreement with the Damascus prophecy, of course, in the Bible, and I think it's imminent.
And just go on Google Earth and zoom down over Damascus and the surrounding area and look at how many failed volcanic eruptions there are around there. In addition, of course, south of there are about 13 volcanoes that buried, you know, northern Jordan and stuff like that, and you know, got rid of the giants in the kingdom of Bashan, where Og was the king, an 18-foot giant. But anyway, that whole area is volcanic, and it's still got some active vents there that we got to watch. Anyhow, that's that point there. But now, and that's the Iranians as part of the gang of three that are attacking the United States and soon going to be invading us and hitting us with EMP bombs and everything and nuclear bombs over major cities. They've already, the Russians a long time ago targeted 120 U.S. cities as major targets for an attack by them, by air and some by land. Now, in slide 38, we look at China, another member of the Gang of Three that's bringing America down. It says the Chinese government is developing biological weapons that can attack DNA strands specific to a targeted racial group. According to Gordon Chang, the author of The Coming Collapse of China, these ethnic-specific pathogens, you know, like COVID, could amount to civilization killers and have China as the world's only viable civilization. This development is happening as China amasses the largest collection of American DNA profiles, even larger than what the United States has, through the purchase of DNA sequencing companies. Yeah, you know, I don't know where they bought 23andMe and you know, family history trees and all that stuff. But they have bought all of these things so that they can make a biobomb for our gene. And so where we are in the world, if that new virus that they've built gets loose, you know, Americans, you know, European stock will die. And we're going to be left with China, you know, the Asian nations. Now, we know from prophecy that there will be survivors around the world, and it won't wipe out the world, but it will be one of the pestilences, you know, that will strike as, you know, one of the plagues of the revelation given to John in this time. So here we see evidence of this pestilence they're talking about here being manufactured by China. I'm not saying that we haven't done that here in the States, but we're not a major power any longer. We're going to go down soon. We've just been destroyed from within. They've demoralized our military. They've demoralized the people. They've blackmailed and bribed our ruling, you know, politicians to the point that we can't do anything legally by the Constitution to stop this. It's forcing us into a civil war here between those of us who support the Constitution of the United States and who've obviously those in the military who have sworn an oath to defend the United States and the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And we have domestic enemies in the White House at the moment. This calls for executive action. This is going to happen. And this is part of what you were telling about at the beginning of the show. A lot of people who aren't paying attention to what's been happening are going to be shocked to the core at what happens to our quote unquote civilization here in the United States. It's going to have to happen. If we don't see this happen, then it will be a communist overthrow that will destroy America and us. Either way, we, as America, we are doomed. If we fight, if we resist, we're doomed because it's going to split the country and China and Russia will invade. I think that's where it's going to go because there are quite a few of us who aren't going to just lie down and take this, including that poisonous COVID shot stuff that you're talking about.
You know, Mr. Marbles yesterday said, you know, my patience is wearing thin, or our patience is wearing thin. My patience is wearing thin. you have no idea about thin patients, Mr. Marbles. Mm-hmm. No idea. Because there's about 80 million of us whose patience is worn pretty damn thin for other reasons. So, you know, you can play dad all you want, play angry father, angry grandfather all you want, but you have no idea what anger is, Mr. Biden. Okay, yeah, you're right. You're right. And sadly, you know, and that's the thing. It's going to split this country apart. Wow. Just wow.
It already has.
It already has. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, it has, Eric. It really has. And the split's going to get wider. And I still hearken back to what the Hopes, the prosecutor, told Holly and I when we were invited to visit with him in his home and the Chicago reservation there in Arizona. He did say that, and this was back in 1996, he told us this, that the United States would suffer a massive civil war toward the end of this age, which is now. And that civil war would not be, you know, North against South or anything like that. It would be multi-sided. It would be white supremacist against, you know, races. It would be religious, you know, Jewish, Islamic, Christian against, you know, various opposite viewpoints. And it would be against rich and poor. It would be illegal immigrants against citizens of the United States. It's just going to be multi-sided reasons for people to shoot each other, kill each other. And he said, while this is happening, he said, the United States will be invaded by China and Russia and one Middle Eastern nation. Now, they didn't name Iran. I'm assuming that from what is developing now in the news, but that they would attack us by air, and then they, you know, bomb several major cities in the United States with nukes, and then they would come by land and take things from all across the United States, and it would force little small groups of surviving Americans to migrate toward the Rockies. Then, unexplained to the prophecy keeper was the fact that the Chinese, Russians, and Iranians would all leave the country and not come back. And that reminds me of the prophecy of Babylon falling. In 1 hour, Babylon's falling, it's burning, it's gone. And there could be bioweapons or nuclear things or whatever remaining behind this invasion, which forced people to go to the only area which would be safe, would be in the Rockies on probably the eastern side of it, maybe the western side. You know, and so although I don't side with all of the Hopi animist religion, things like that, there are Christians there in the Hopi tribe, Shungopi particularly. And I do support what he told me because that is happening now. So it is proof of the accuracy of what that particular prophecy keeper told us. Anyway, it's happening. It's just happening. And I'm sure the George Soros's of the world, his son, and anybody else who's like him in power structures are all just, you know, clapping with glee. Look, we're forcing America into collapse by civil war, and then we will take over, and the whole planet will be under a communist dictatorship. Under a leader who will probably have Islamic roots because he will favor beheading people that don't, you know, agree with him or take his mark or his number. Anyway, I'm on a roll there. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm glad you're on a roll. And everything you said, I can see coming. And, you know, just to add to that, I've never seen the dogma of the left so entrenched in delusion. I don't know how else to describe that. They're ideologies. Hey, I can get, you know, it's my body. It's my choice. I'm going to get an abortion if I want to. Hey, I've had 21 abortions. You know, they celebrate. But yet, they want to dictate over our bodies. Now, again, people will say, well, because being unvaccinated, you're posing a health risk to me. Being pregnant is not posing any risk to you. Okay, those arguments to me are fallacies and straw man arguments based on a number of levels. So, you know, but that's not the point. The point is the dogmatic, unwavering, no compromise. We were not even going to sit down and talk about this. No, this is what you're going to do is leading to that. When dialogue fails, in my view, when dialogue fails, the bullets come out. And that's just I'm just seeing that. I don't advocate. And I certainly don't want that. That would really mess up my schedule and my lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. No, I understand. Now, to that point about, you know, being forced to take this, COVID vaccine. Look at slide 49 and click on the text. this told an amazing thing. It's from the Defender, Children's Health Defense News and Views. Study says fully vaccinated healthcare workers carry 251 times the viral load and pose threat to unvaccinated patients and coworkers. Now, this is from Oxford University Clinical Research saying, if you're around people who've been inoculated, vaccinated in the healthcare industries, you're going to be exposed to 251 times the normal COVID load in the air coming through their nose out. It shows that they did it, testing the stuff in their nose. And, I marvel at this. Here's stuff telling you that those that are vaccinated are spreaders of this. I just can't understand why people can't see this. What they're telling us is misleading. It's a lie. It's designed to create, additional division. Like Eric was saying, we're already divided. Well, this is exiting that. There's so many things that are coming at us as chess moves to divide us against each other. And this one here, I looked at that and I said, good grief. I'm not vaccinated. I'm not going to get vaccinated. I'll get shot before I get vaccinated. And, I'm less dangerous to people around me than those that are, especially in healthcare, that are vaccinated. And this is a study in one of these leftist Oxford University groups. And that's telling you that it's a problem. So anyway.
One thing about that, the language has been so badly changed and erroneously changed. The definition of a vaccine, September 1st, was changed across the board on various sites, medical dictionaries and medical sites and such, from preventing infection or to lessening the effects of a virus or a disease, which I found interesting. So this doesn't even qualify by definition as a vaccine or by previous definition as a vaccine. This is something different. One question I have for you, Stan, since we're on this subject, and there was a commenter on Rumble that asked the question, and I don't have an answer for this. And thank you to the people who do comment on Rumble about these shows, or put in comments. And I don't have the exact verbiage of the comment, but the question was: the inventor of the mRNA juice, the mRNA therapy, genetic therapy. Why was that created? Do you know? What was it? Do you know why it was?
I don't know why it was created. If you're not looking conspiratorially or anything like that, just looking at normal science, it would be to make a method of doing what Jesus did by laying on hands to the lame and the blind to heal them by correcting their genetic map, which had been damaged either by the environment or by birth. And that would be a nice part of it. But sadly, with all scientific advancements that humanity makes, the scientists come up with this in an altruistic form. The military, under the people in charge, use it as a weapon against their enemies. And the mRNA, doctrines, things like that, might have started out really good intention, but have now been overtaken by those who would kill their enemies, particularly you and I and most thinking people at this point in time.
Leave it to humanity to screw it up. This is why we can't have nice things, folks. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Slide 52. Right. All right. Well, let's get on slide 52.
All right.
There was a poll taken, and it says that 3/4 of unvaccinated Americans, that would be you and me and those who think like us, mm-hmm. say they would quit their job if it is required that they take the jab, not calling it a vaccine, but whatever, the jab. And if you look at the article, it says, no jab, no job, no way. And that's our opinion, isn't it? I mean, no way, Jose. And you look 15 years ago, we started talking about this on various talk shows, and other talk shows did it as well, saying that, if you're a Christian and expecting what is coming, you're going to prepare. And the best way to prepare for everything is not only to get goods and stuff into to endure not being able to go to the shops, but also have your own family business or businesses where you don't have a lot of employees, where you are the employees, and you're not going to be subject to the controls that go to the normal people work at 9-to-5 jobs. Well, Holly and I were doing that at the time. So, you know, we just said, this is what we're doing. We found a niche for us to have a family business. Others have done it in, hanging blinds, making blinds for people's homes and stuff like that, or car washing businesses, or, you know, small businesses. You don't get rich doing that, but you're protected from what they hit the larger corporations with, which is happening right now. No jab, no job, no way. Okay. That's right. The people, the companies that have 100 or more employees are, we're told yesterday, you know, you're going to be penalized $14,000 a pop if you don't have all your employees get the jab. And, you know, so that's for companies with 100 or more. The next step is to go down to, you know, everybody, you know, every corporate structure. And, you know, we're, our EMP Shield company is incorporated. And so we're probably going to get hit with that mandate. And so EMP Shields may or may not be able to survive that mandate. So that's another reason for you to get your EMP Shields now. While we've still got them, can still make them. We're working on something to get an exemption should that happen to us, but it's just good advice to you. Do it now. Don't delay.
Stan, okay. About that real quick. Have you thought about the reason 100 employees? That seems rather arbitrary. It's an arbitrary number. Why not 50 employees? Why not 10? Why not 200 or 2,000? And I thought about this late last night, early this morning, and I'm thinking, okay, in my view, the reason for that is that number is pretty well in the lane of still small business. Now, to me, that's not a small business, but it's a small business by definition, I suppose. And that would decimate a lot of the trucking companies. It would decimate a lot of the, or take them out completely, a lot of the supply chain, much of the supply chain. So the people making the decisions saying no jab, no job, no way. Okay, fine. I'm out of here. Think about the economic ramifications or the, the economic ramifications and all that the economy does, surrounding the economy or economic factors of that. It's just, there's no way out of this if that goes. I mean, there's no way out of this if people succumb to that. So you're right.
Well, maybe they did this arbitrarily thinking that, okay, companies under 100 employees, those are, you know, going to be the extremists, the people resisting the jab and that kind of stuff. We don't want to just invite them to revolt right now. What we want to do is hit the upper echelon to the companies, you know, that have 100 or more employees. And, so we don't stir up the grassroots until we've got control of all these other companies. But it also allows them to get people unemployed, you know, to be fired or quit from these jobs, which, you know, gets all the troublemakers into a very tight little corner where they don't have income and they're controllable, possibly without having to have, you know, martial law and that kind of stuff. There could be a number of reasons why they picked that number 100 employees. And since they have access to all the financial records and tax records of the country, they know best at what tier to hit to divide the two, the smaller businesses from the large corporations. Mm. The large corporations are highly exposed to government control. And, they're going to bend. They're going to do what it takes to stay in business. Their board of directors are set up to make profit, and that's it.
Understood. Wow.
Yeah. So, all right. Let's get back over here to the show images page. In Australia, slide 54, rather interesting but insane video. This is not in favor of resisting the jab. It's enticing people to get the jab, and they're going to lock out from society. It's a video, so you have to watch it on your own time. But unvaccinated people there are going to be treated as the enemy. They're going to have trouble buying and selling and driving and moving from state to state, or driving, over 25 miles from their house, or even 15 miles, I think, in one place, without a vaccine passport. This is a test market for what's going to happen to the United States and Great Britain. We're both going to get hit with what they're doing to Australia. And the Australians, of course, they were an easy target because, she'll be right, mate. It's always been their kind of, unspoken motto across the population. Go with the punches, roll with the punches. And so it's going to be easier for them to control the Australians than it will be for America, particularly, and Great Britain to a degree. But America is the last bastion of free, independent thought and people who would stand up for their rights, and armed people. So the next thing is what Biden's doing. He's working with the United Nations to get the United States to sign the Global Arms Limitation Treaty, which means you can't have, you know, assault weapons, probably not even guns or, at all. And when it becomes a UN issue, then the UN will send their troops in to our houses, knock on our door to take our arms or us. So this is the next step. Disarm us.
Oh, man. Okay.
I know. And in slide 53, a minor thing, but still, you know, part of Australia, the takeover of Australia. Australian authorities can now legally change citizen social media posts. So they can go onto your Facebook and your various other social media posting places. And if you put bad news on it, or you put something against COVID or something against what the Australian government supports, your mandates or whatever, then the government could go in there and change your Facebook page, delete it or add to it, or, you know, cut your account out legally. That's coming here. They're going to control all communications and methods of communications, and, you know, try to keep those of us who are able now, like this show, to be able to talk with each other and share the information. And you and I both do that on our Patreon, you know, weekend chats when we have, you know, the private chats. We share information there. You know, we give, they give on our sites, Patreon sites, and that's the way we can tell people what's happening, what part of the country, what they need to do, what they don't need to do. However, we're going to lose that when they cut off our internet access. Ham radio will only work for a while before they start blocking that. And so a population like in the United States that is not able to communicate, not able to get the news, not able to share the news in their area, is going to be a very vulnerable population. And it's probably going to force a number of us to move toward a certain place physically in the United States to congregate with others like ourselves, so that by road or by word of mouth personally, news can be shared in smaller groups, because we won't be able to go out on the internet. So this show, you know, let's hope it survives and is able to go for a lot longer. And others like us, I mean, Alex Jones will probably be taken down. All these, you know, Glenn Beck, we're all out there, you know, shouting and warning. But this is a thorn in their side, and they are going to take that away from us in addition to our ability to defend ourselves. That's where we are.
Yeah, so I've been told we are the thorn, a thorn, one of many thorns in their side. And it's good. I want to be their fly in the ointment, the monkey in their wrench, the whatever it might be. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. So, yeah.
Okay. Now, on this, you know, quote unquote virus, the COVID thingy, whatever we're going to call it now. This pestilence, I found another video. Mark Inson, a friend of ours, sent us this video. He knows the guy that did it. He said, although they advertise a product, what they're talking about in this video is how you can use amino acids, you know, to make L-lysine amino acid or eat it in your diet to defend you against the COVID infection. And it's, if you read about it, things like nuts, you know, having a, you know, half a cup full of nuts a day, they have a lot of L-lysine, you know, amino acids in it, and other foods, just eat, put that into your diet. Yeah, there you go. You can see that there in the article you've got up there, if you want to switch to that page, Eric. And virologists, you know, have confirmed this. It's a natural cure for COVID-19, and it's affordable because you can just eat it, you know, from your diet. And they list these things down in the thing there, and how they've done tests in the Dominican Republic and elsewhere. So I'm telling you this, it's in addition to your normal health supplements to keep your immune system up, eat or take supplements for L-lysine. You know, it's the best I can do for all of us that are unvaccinated and aren't willing to be vaccinated.
Nice. All right. Sounds good. And folks, you know, take that to heart, because that's, and it's so important to keep our immune systems up. Two things you mentioned about news, you know, Facebook posts, news, internet shows like this being down. Folks, real quick, in addition to EMP Shield and such, make sure you visit the satellite phone store. The link's in the program description box, and Galileo, sign up for that as well. It's still in beta testing. It's going to be rolled out as soon as the kinks are worked out, but. You know, we need to be in contact with one another, and that's a great way to do it. And also immune system. There it is. Hey, keep your immune system up. That's, you know, what's important. So, all right. Wow.
Yeah, there's another video on slide 51. You can click on it and watch the video. But they are talking there about the Australian quarantine camps. They're spreading. They're making more of them than just in Queensland. And I guess it's like our FEMA camps we have here. You know, it's to help people in times of disaster, et cetera, et cetera. But the razor wire around it is keeping people in, not out. It's a worthwhile video news clip with Owen Troy and, you know, Evelyn Ray. She's the interviewee from Australia. So it's worth your watch there. Now, let us have a look at some interesting solar and astronomical news here. Let's see. When was it? Yes, slide 40. Again, one of those unforeseen events. A small asteroid barely missed Earth just hours after the car-sized rock was discovered flying through space. So, in other words, the NEO group and NASA were out there looking for near-Earth orbiting type bodies to crash into us. They say, oh, here, we found this one here. You know, it's, 2021 RS2. That's the name of it. And it passed within 9,500 miles of Earth. Now, it was only the size of a car. And if it had hit the atmosphere, it probably would have mostly burned up and exploded, you know, like Chelyabinsk thing over Russia. Would have been a nuisance in that area. It wouldn't be a planet buster. But it was at 9,500 miles from the surface of the Earth, and our communication satellites and all of our military, you know, constellation of satellites are at 25,000 miles out from us. So this was inside of our satellite networks. And the chances of it hitting or, you know, damaging any of the satellites is very, very remote. But still, the closeness of it is that, okay, if it had been just slightly off, then we'd have had another, you know, air explosion over some city, possibly. Again, telling us how much we don't know about what's out there and how soon it's going to hit us. There are a lot of surprises waiting out there. And with the sun and other things happening, intensifying, a lot of the stable orbits that we have already pre-calculated on thousands of these near-Earth objects may have to change. They have to be reevaluated. And even with a quantum computer, this takes a little bit of time to calculate the orbital changes due to, you know, solar gravitational influences on these orbiting bodies. They get too close to the sun in a solar pass, or change their orbit to where it might hit us. I mean, these are things that are just normal procedures, but requiring constant surveillance of all the known near-Earth objects. You go over to slide 41, and it says here, according to NASA, the JPL Laboratory, a gigantic asteroid called 2010 RJ53 will be flying past the Earth later today. Now, when they say it's flying past the Earth, it's just the distance is just inside the distance of the moon to the Earth at 227,000 miles. This asteroid is 774 meters, roughly about 780 yards wide. Now, that's big. That could hurt if that hit us. It is estimated to be more than four times the size of the Statue of Unity in Gujarat in India and twice the size of the Empire State Building. The massive celestial object will be hurtling past our planet at a distance of just what they call 3.66 lakh kilometers, which is translated to 227,422 miles. And this one we know about. And as I said, developments on the sun and the solar winds and the emissions, the changes in the magnetic field of the sun, that kind of stuff, can alter all of these NEOs that have a pass by the sun at some point in their orbit, which they do because they're all heliocentric orbits. Wow. Excuse me.
Wow.
And along that, yeah, there you go. That's the article. Yeah, okay. Let's see. We've got, what, about 11 minutes left here? Roughly.
I'm sorry, okay. About 9 minutes. My clock was nine. Off. Okay. I apologize.
Okay, 9 minutes. Okay, we're good. Okay, now let's look at the sun. Slides 43 through 48 all cover aspects of the sun right now. One of the things that people and myself were guilty of is thinking if the sunspot eruptions and CMEs on the other side of the sun happen on the other side, not facing Earth, then don't worry about it. But slide 46, the article there tells you you might want to think about it because the big sunspots, which go around the back side of the sun, when they erupt, their magnetic field interacts around the sun toward us. If you click on the picture, you'll see the graph showing how this particular one that we're talking about here on the eastern limb is, that's backwards to what you would think. It'd be on the right side of the screen anyway, eastward on the sun. If you look at the bottom of that graphic there, you'll see how the flare can happen on the backside of the sun and the magnetic field of it can spin out in a spiral that comes out of the solar wind as well and hit the Earth. So, the CME may occur on the backside of the sun and eject this cloud of particles and things like that at high speed toward us, but away from us, sorry, but it will bend in an arc because if you look at the top of the sun, from the top and see how the solar winds spiral like a Catherine wheel out into the solar system, this is how we catch it when it's even behind the sun. It comes out and hits us anyway. And these are heavier particles. Rather than electromagnetic radiation, which usually is a direct line of sight, but these are particles that come around and hit us. So we need to look at the sunspots and CMEs all over the sun and anticipate, especially those on the eastern side going around when we're going to hit it, when it happens. If it's in the latitude that would hit the Earth in a spiral, then a few days after the event, we might actually see it hit us as we move into that spiral arm. At the moment, there are a couple of
amazing graphic. I just, that's fascinating, actually. It never really gave that a thought, but okay, that makes sense.
No, neither did I. I mean, I play in this stuff all the time, and I thought, holy cow, that's right. I see these spiral graphs all the time, and don't think about the fact that those heavier particles and magnetic fields would bend around and smack us. Wow. And we have a couple of sunspots up there on the sun at the moment that are just moving. They were Earth-directed early this morning, and now then later in the day they're moving rapidly toward totally Earth-directed and moving past us. But these two sunspots are huge, and this is in a low sunspot part of the solar cycle, apparently, right? But if you look at slide 47, these two sunspots are growing rapidly and turning to face Earth. How big are they? The entire planet Jupiter could fit comfortably between the primary cores of these two, and it might soon be even bigger. This active region has almost doubled in size since yesterday. Big sunspots can produce big flares. For the rest of this week, the two will be squarely inside the Earth strike zone. Any flare or CME will be a direct hit on the Earth. So this is interesting. I've been telling you the sun is acting abnormally, and it may throw off a shell off the surface of it eventually, as prophecy says in the book of Revelation. But look at this. And drop down to slide 43. It's the same look at those two sunspots. And just click on the picture and let your computer look at it for a few minutes, and you'll see that in one day how they enormously enlarged. I mean, doubled. You could just see that right there in front of on that graphic, Eric. If you put that up, that GIF shows the doubling. I mean, it's just astounding.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, watch it there. See how it doubled like that?
Yep.
Yeah. Eric, I don't know whether you've left off before it doubled, but that was what it did. Okay. Yesterday, I think it was here in slide 44, with that blue picture there. Talks about Earth-directed flares. I summarized the article on Space Weather there, but it says, Earth-directed solar flares today began with an explosion. That was yesterday on the sun. And it shows that one of those two sunspots we were looking at just a few minutes ago, it unleashed a C2-class solar flare. Okay, not enough to worry about, but still, it could interrupt communications. A pulse of ultraviolet radiation ionized Earth's atmosphere, briefly disturbing shortwave radio propagation around the Pacific Rim. The explosion might have hurled a CME into space. Confirmation is pending fresh data from SOHO. So this produces possibly a CME. And this active region is abnormal. I mean, for this time of the solar sunspot cycle, it's abnormal. The two Earth-directed solar flares, giant sunspot AR-2866, it's one of the two we've been looking at, just produced a C8 class flare. And, you know, there was a M and X class flares above that, but that we're moving up the channel, you know, up the chart. So it's important that you link to these things and have a look during the week between shows so that you're advised of when you may be seeing the effects of a, you know, a CME that could be Earth directed.
Wow.
Another thing for you to look at on that, in that respect is slide 48. If you click on that, it's a link to a site that is updated daily and telling you where the active regions are in various wavelengths and, you know, how many sunspots are there. And it changes as condition of the sun change. And that's in solarmonitor.org. You can see it if you click on the picture or on the text, either one. And, that I would suggest you look at daily to know what you need to be aware of as far as the active region. Now, looking at it now, we can see the sunspots are still in Earth directed position in all six of these diagrams, but the lower three are more visually telling us that. Anyway, this is a site for you to use. Earthquakes around the planet are fairly normal distribution, except for the Juan de Fuca plate. If you click on the image and then zoom in, the Juan de Fuca plate, in a dangerous place, has had a number of fours and fives in the last week. You can see the yellow and orange, represented dots there. And this is not good because we're expecting sometime soon a movement in the Juan de Fuca plate that will produce tidal waves inland all along the Washington-Oregon coast. And also the Mendocino Fault right underneath that coming in, where we have some big earthquakes north of California, or the northern part, tell us that some big energy is being released. And the Aleutians, the same thing is happening up in the upper left there near Alaska. There was a fairly large one there. And its aftershocks are moving in toward Alaska's coastline, you know, the arc of it there.
We got about 20 seconds, Stan.
20 seconds. Okay, we'll have a look at slide 42 when you get time. This talks about Yellowstone and the fact that it's had 97 earthquakes this last month. The month before, it had about 1,000 or an 8. These are normal earthquake numbers. However, the article, when you click on it, says, you know, are we looking at a possible eruption or magmatic leak, etc., from Yellowstone? And that's all for the week.
Wow.
How's that?
Stan Deo from standeo.com. Thank you so very much. I appreciate you. Again,
put that last slide up, Eric. Put that last slide up, Eric, quickly.
Okay. The 42, right? 40, no, which one?
Stan? No, the one that I gave you before that you screen snapped.
Oh, the last one. I'm sorry. You're right. You're right. Hang on. Here it comes. There it is.
And that's how we end. That's how we end. Remember, the Lord is in control.
Amen, brother. Powerful, powerful, powerful image. Folks, Stan Deo from standeo.com, Holly Deo as well, standeo.com. Please go visit. And thank you, Stan. Again, God bless you. And have a great night and have a great weekend. All right.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. You're listening to the Hagmann Report right here on the Global Star Satellite Radio Network. We're going to blow through it. All right. Thank you very much. Coming up is going to be Ted or Austin Brower from healthmasters.com. Before I get that, excuse me, I got something in my throat there. Before we get to Austin, I just want to remind, you know, everyone that we have to continue taking care of business. And, you know, my wife, she does a great job in making sure everything gets paid and such. And but let me ask you, and we were talking about this the other day. Have you looked at your credit card statement? And have you been shocked by the interest rate on your credit card statement, credit cards statements? Did you know that you could actually roll all of your credit card balances and debts into one monthly payment at a lower fixed interest rate? Again, sometimes this just makes sense. And I would venture to say that if you did that, if you took out your credit card, even if you just got one, and you look at your credit card interest rate, you're going to be astounded by the interest rate you're paying. I know that we were, and we have benefited by my friends at Lightstream. Folks, you can lower your interest rate and save with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Rates start at 5.93% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. Plus, the rate is fixed, so it'll never go up over the life of the loan. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000. There are absolutely no fees. You can get your money the same day as you apply. In many cases, Lightstream believes that People with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. And from my friends at Lightstream, they gave us a very special deal here. Just for my listeners, my viewers, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman. Now, this is so important, I'm going to spell it out for you. It's LightStream, lightstream.com/Hagman. Remember, two N's on Hagman. That's HAGMANN. This is subject to credit approval. Rates range from 5.93% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% autopay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply. And offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. You will be glad you did. You'll thank me later. You'll give me a call. You'll say, hey, Doug, thanks, man. Appreciate that. And thank you to my good friends at Lightstream, lightstream.com/Hagman. All right. Speaking of thanking people, I've got to thank healthmasters.com. Healthmasters.com. You know, it's not every day that we have doctors in-house like Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, like we had last week, and really get the information about the things like the corona or SARS-CoV-2 and really get in-depth about subjects like that. Except when we have, of course, Austin or Ted Brower on about health, our own health and nutritional supplements. And when Dr. Tenpenny, this is true, this is a true story, when Dr. Tenpenny was in, just as I was going through her purse that she left, she was going through my office. Actually, I thought she left, but she was actually going through my drawers. I'm kidding. But I showed her the supplements, the array of supplements I take, and she said, boy, this is right on the money. Okay, right on the money. And she looked and she said, oh man, they're great people. Health Masters, they're great supplements. I recommend them. So, I'm not speaking for her as a recommendation. I'm just saying what she said to me. She said, yeah, this is good stuff. Good stuff. So you know what, folks? Go to healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. Did I say healthmasters.com? Healthmasters.com. And excuse me, there, it's on your screen right now if you're watching this. Now look to the right of that before you scroll down there. Don't blow by this because Ted and Austin, they've got an hour long show Monday through Friday. That's Monday through Friday, hour long show right here on the Global Star Radio Network. And they deliver super information. Now I haven't heard their show today yet. I can't wait for that. I just can't wait for it. But folks, as you're shopping, go ahead and click that on. And listen to one of the most informative hours on Global Star Radio Network. So, and while you're shopping, make sure you take advantage of the various immune system support kits that they have. And, things like, their vitamin C, by the way, their vitamin C is just absolutely the best. They've got some really great, well, you know what? I'm not going to tell you because I don't want them to run out. All their products are great. How's that? So, look at the product of the week right there. Product is B12. Bingo. That's right. With me is Austin Brower, healthmasters.com, a young man that I have a lot of respect for. If he didn't already have a fabulous dad, I'd offer to adopt him. But, that said, Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. Sir, how are you?
Doing blessed, Doug. Great to be on the show again. I appreciate the adoption offer. You know, I may take you up on that if I was a little bit younger.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Just write me in your, or no, I was, I'll write you in my estate planning. You know, I'll leave you.
Okay. Absolutely. No, it's been a wild day down here. If you can imagine at Health Masters, because I've been getting literally since I woke up, my text messages were blowing up, phone calls were blowing up all day long. Everybody's trying to figure out, you know, what do we do now? What do we do with this? And I said, well, first off, you have to understand what the American populace was subjected to last night was some of the most aggressive propaganda we've ever witnessed in the United States. You have to understand what happened. when you have a pretty much a undue president that isn't even a legitimate president, he's a bumbling buffoon and he reads a teleprompter 99% of the time. When he starts coming out and he says it's not about your freedom or your personal choice, and he starts saying that if governors don't do what he demands, he's going to use his executive authority to get them out of the way. And then he comes in and he basically says, our patience is wearing thin for the unvaccinated. You have to understand what that was. So many people got unbelievably mad about that, basically that incident that happened last night, rightfully so, because it was unbelievably offensive and disrespectful to the entire American populace and to our republic. But you have to understand, they're going to start pushing the propaganda more and more and more aggressively. What we witnessed last night is not going to be the end of this whatsoever. It's actually, in my opinion, I think it's going to get much, much worse when it comes to propaganda. Now, the construct of what he was trying to basically demand the American populace listen to him like he's some type of dictator and completely lied and said, we have a completely safe vaccine. Well, that's a complete and total bold-faced lie. You can simply look at the FDA surveillance of COVID-19 vaccines on the working list of possible adverse outcomes. I posted this on our website back a few, probably 6-7 months ago, and people were shocked, you know, all the different incidences that they were expecting to have happen. Then you can pull up the VAERS reporting system from the COVID Vaccine Adverse Event System database. And it goes into detail here. There's just a couple of the numbers. 13,911 deaths related to the COVID-19 injection, 76,159 urgent care visits, 4,832 Bell's palsy, 5,222 myocarditis or pericarditis, 18,098 permanently disabled. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. I mean, it just goes on as far as all these different events. So you have to understand, that's a complete and total lie, what they did last night. Here's what they're trying to do. They're trying to bully everybody into getting this injection to get tagged with this gene therapy. They're going to be becoming more and more aggressive if people don't stand their ground. I said this on our show earlier today, and I, you know, sometimes I hate being accurate about certain things, and I told everybody last summer, when I was constantly getting in altercations everywhere down here about the mask, I said, I'm not wearing a mask. I've already had COVID. I'm not a peasant. I'm not a dog. I'm not going to wear a muzzle. And so many people, I didn't go out and say, dude, just put a mask on. I said, no, I'm not wearing a mask. I said, the mask is like dealing in a combat situation and you have an enemy 1,000 meters out. And you've got a very, very well-sighted in 338 Lapua, 50 Barrett, whatever you want to put out there. That's where the masks were. They were super easy, super simple to say no. And I said this last summer. I said, once they put out a shot, which they're going to do, I said, it is going to turn into no longer long-range engagement. It will be trench warfare. It will be in your house. It will be at your front door. It will be at your business. It will be at your office. That's where they're taking it. And sure enough, now that's exactly what we're witnessing. I talked to a buddy of mine at Lowe's last night. He works at Lowe's, owner of his house, and he runs the Lowe's Pro section. So him and a lot of the other guys over there are very, very strong patriots. And so I asked him last night, I said, you know, pretty much this asinine mandate that the bumbling buffoon tried to tell everybody they have to do. I said, what are you going to do if Lowe's comes in and they basically try to mandate this? He said, well, we've already all talked about it. We're not getting any injection, period. He goes, we're not slaves. We're not owned. We're not going to be told we have to have an injection. I said, well, would they fire you? He said, well, there's two options here. He said, A, if Lowe's decides to start firing a massive trove of individuals, the business revenue is going to drop through the floor. He said, they already have a hard time trying to get employees right now. He said, secondly, I would love for them to fire me. He said, because I've already put in papers before this that have stated I have a strongly held religious belief against the COVID injection. He said, once you do that and you have a paper trail and an email and a text and a form and you submitted that to managers saying I have a deeply held religious belief against this shot, at that point in time, if they come in and they say, by the way, Mr. Austin, you're being terminated pretty much without due cause because you don't want to take a shot, now you have them completely opened up to a full-blown lawsuit. That's where a lot of this is going to start going. I'm letting everybody know that. This is going to go to a huge, huge debacle in the court systems. Now, do I think a lot of the companies are actually going to start firing people? No, I really don't, because they simply can't afford to do so. If you start having 10, 20, 30, 40% of your staff and they won't get the injection and you're going to shut down your entire business, you're not going to do it. A lot of this is being done again as a big, giant bluff to get people to consent to take this injection. They're never going to come to people's houses and hold them down and forcibly inject them on a gurney. That'd be suicide. They get shot in the face immediately. They know this. And for some odd reason, with this whole shot, it has to be consensual. They want everybody to accept it and to take it. That's where this is going. And the thing that I've been telling everybody is this. If you go in and you say, you know what, I'm going to comply. Excuse me. I'm going to be a good little peasant. I'm going to come in and I'm going to get my shot and I'm going to do it so they'll leave me alone at work. At that point in time now, excuse me, at that point in time, you have now consented to not only gene therapy, but allowing another individual to own you. And never will it ever stop. It's not going to stop with this shot. It's not going to stop with the booster shot that Fauci said is coming out September 20th. It's not going to come out with the fourth booster shot they have planned now in February. It's not going to stop with the next booster shot next summer. It's not going to stop with the Pfizer antiviral pills that are already in clinical trials, and they have started manufacturing the drug even though it has not been approved. The CEO of Pfizer has been super excited to present their antiviral drug for COVID. They're saying now that everybody should take these two pills, these antiviral pills, every day for the rest of your life in order to prevent COVID. They're already working on it. They're shelling them out right now. This is where it's going to go. It's never going to stop unless we make it stop. And I know a lot of people are in a precarious situation today. I get it. What do you do? Do you comply or do you basically resist? There's only one answer, and it is to stand your ground as hard as you can physically do it. This is that hill right now, because if you give them that consent and you say, hey, you can tell me what I have to do and you can inject this into my body simply so I can sleep, I can go to work, I can make money, I can live. It will be over for this country, and the Republic of the United States will be buried in a black hole of darkness. It will be the end of this country. And so I encourage all my friends, all my listeners, this is that point in time. This is not something you'll comply on, because it will never stop, ever. And we saw the video from Australia, what's going on over there. Australia is the template of what's starting to happen as the spearhead. And we saw Dr. Cary Grant, the New South Wales chief medical officer. If you watch this video, she said, they were asking her, what about when we reopen? She said, we will be looking at contact tracing and what it looks like in the new world order. Yes, it will be pubs, clubs, and any other thing. If you have a positive case there, our response may be different if people are fully vaccinated, but we're working through a number of those issues. She blatantly said, we will be looking and seeing what contact tracing will look like in the new world order. They're not even trying to hide it anymore, Doug. They're literally not even trying to be discreet. They're blatantly telling us what they're going to do. That is why I've been so adamant about masks. That is why I've been so adamant about the injection. And that is why I told everybody, this has to be our line in the sand. If you're a patriot, if you're a Christian, if you're a red-blooded American, there is no other option right now. This has to be it. And the propaganda that we were exposed to last night is only the beginning. The fact that you have a sitting president getting online and on television last night and telling you it's not about your freedom, it's not about your choice. If the governors don't do what we want, we're going to move them out of the way. We have basically, our patience has worn thin. Were we 5 years old? Our mom mad at us? We didn't clean our room. Our patience is wearing thin.
Why did we ask them? You know what? You just pissed off, not you, but Biden, Mr. Marbles, just pissed off about 80 million Americans. And let me tell you something, Mr. Marbles. Okay, you talk about patience wearing thin, about 80 million Americans, more maybe, you just pissed them off, and our patience is wearing thin. And I just want to say this. You're not going to litigate. You know, look, I religious exemptions, great. I'm going to sue for whatever. No, we are not going to litigate ourselves out of this. I've got one solution. There's only one way to go on this. You stand your ground. You're absolutely right. And if that doesn't work, go ahead and put that graphic up. Somebody who was way ahead of his time and saw this coming from years, a decade plus ago. And my word is war. I wish I would have said that. War. There it is. All right. Austin Brower, healthmasters.com is my guest. Go to healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. Link in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. Click on that link. Listen to a show and buy supplements. Because next to go is going to be the nutritional supplements. Oh, you're not going to be able. You got to get a prescription. You want vitamin D? You got to have a prescription for that. D3, K2? Oh, a prescription. You know what? You can bite me. And then if that scene in Christmas Vacation, it was Christmas Vacation, where Chevy Chase is standing at the boardroom. I don't know. It was like a minor scene in that movie, but, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. Kiss his, okay. Yeah, kiss each other's, you know. Folks, you remember what I'm talking about, right? If you saw the movie, but that's, you know, look, that's where I'm at. So go ahead, sir. Yeah, go ahead. I just went off the rails.
No, you're spot on, Doug. I mean, that you're 100% accurate. And I mean, and this is what I've tried to get through a lot of people's thick skulls right now, is if you really are sitting here and you think that if you comply with this now, it's somehow going to stop, or if everybody, say the entire country, gets on their knees and says, you know what, we're going to comply, we're going to submit, give us the jab, and we'll all comply. Say everybody did that. Does anybody even think in their wildest imagination that it's going to stop after that? It won't ever stop after that. You see what's happened in every single country when tyranny takes over, when every fall of an empire takes over. You watch and see. It's the same story. They say history repeats itself. We're watching history happen again right in front of our eyes. And for some odd reason, people have become so passive, so submissive, that they're literally willing to let a gene therapy injection that's experimental be pushed on them simply because they were told to do so. What happens when they tell you to get on the next train to Auschwitz? What happens when they tell you that they have food and shelter at the center? There's a safety center down the road. It's safe. We'll provide you food, protection, water. You can jump on the train. Jump over. We'll take care of you. And the sad part about it is right now, you would see a huge percentage of the population fight to get in line to get on the train if they told them, we'll take care of you. We'll protect you. We'll make sure you're taken very well care of over at this camp. You just got to get on the train.
And you've got thousands of evangelicals saying, oh, it's okay. Go ahead. Which really angers me as well. These evangelicals who say, well, you know, what was it? Submit to the authority, Romans 13. My patience is gone. It's not wearing thin. It's gone. So let's rock. Yes, sir. Yeah. And you want to get in line for that. But you know what? This is one thing I want to just touch base with you on this, because I believe that, these elite intellectual, faggotry members of the faggotry community, okay, they're not going to survive well. And I'll tell you why. Because these types are the kind of people who will be the first to implode. And the reason I say that is because they have others doing normal things, like Eric and I and you and your dad. I mean, we all do things for ourselves. You mow your own grass. You cut your own hedges. You fix your own roof, for crying out loud. These people, they got to hire people to do it, hire people to think for themselves. So in my view, they're the first person, the first people, the first group that's going to be first inconvenienced, and then second, they're going to succumb to the very society that they create.
Oh, you're right. And I think that's one of the reasons why the media and the educational system and the communists that have basically taken over a lot of the school systems now, they've promoted that behavior and that lifestyle so much, because they know those people, in most cases, when they get involved in that, they become very, very submissive to any type of government authority. And this is why they're trying to push this on these kids at 5 years old and teaching them about gender studies, teaching them that it's okay to be a boy, girl, whatever you want to be, a walrus tomorrow, it doesn't matter. Because if you can confuse a generation enough, if you can make them so moronic and so passive that they can't even figure out which toilet to use because they've so twisted up in the head, that generation has zero, zero chance of ever resisting anything, much less saying no. No, they don't know how to say no. No is an offensive word. And we've watched this now over the last 10 to 15 years. And just a perfect example to my Christian friends. I have a lot of friends, some of them are in the churches as far as basically like as pastors and stuff. And you're exactly right. I've been extremely irritated with some of these churches now who are actually promoting the shot. They're actually talking about getting it, why you need to get it. And the way we've watched everything occur, what possibly makes anybody think that this is going to stop? My patience wore out June of last year. Right after the whole lockdown, and I watched business after business after business in Florida shut down and completely go insolvent. I went, dude, this is stupid. This doesn't make any sense to me at all. And then all of a sudden I realized it's designed to do this. Why do you think Biden said any company over 100 employees, they're going to try to mandate this crap? Because majority of the businesses in the country went belly up. They had less than 100 employees last year. They had to lay everybody off, or they went bankrupt. They may have made it through now. Some of the companies I know had bounced back, but many, many tens of thousands of small businesses completely and totally, they ended. And if you look at what we allowed to happen in the school systems and also with the media and getting more and more and more compliant with the transgender, perverted, cross-dressing, sick ideology that is now prevalent everywhere. Back 15, 20 years ago, you never saw any of this. This wasn't around. And they took it slowly, 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 and made everybody become more and more acceptable of it, to the point now that you have libraries all across the country that have actively promoted drag queen story hours with grown pedophile men dressing up like gay unicorns and reading books to children. And that's supposed to be in some way, shape, or form okay. There's nothing okay about that whatsoever. There's nothing okay about putting pedophiles around children. There's nothing okay about teaching children that that lifestyle is anything normal whatsoever. But again, look at what happened. Slippery slope, more and more and more. You watch what happened last year. It was 14 days to flatten the curve, right? Well, it was 14 days. We're flatten the curve. Well, we need to lock down for a month. Okay, we're locked down for a month. Well, we need to stay locked down longer now. And we got to keep restrictions. And then you got to social distance. And you got to put sixes on the floor. And you got to wear a mask. Oh, and the shot's coming out soon. You got to take that. Oh, the booster shot's out now. The thing's so easy to read. You can predict what's about to happen in the next 6 to 12 months. And you don't even need a crystal ball. All you have to do is look at history and look at their actions and what they're doing. And I saw, Ted read this quote this morning. And I'm going to read it again for everybody so they remember this. This was from a Lutheran pastor that went through Nazi Germany. And everybody's usually heard this, but I'm going to repeat it again. It said basically on his tombstone at the Holocaust Memorial Museum, and it quotes, "First they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, but I didn't speak out because I wasn't a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak up for me." And that's exactly what we're witnessing right now. Nobody wants to stand up. Nobody wants to get their hands dirty. Nobody wants to push back and get in a fight. Nobody wants to do it. And we're slowly watching more and more and more people comply until it's going to reach a point where there's going to be a little remnants of us. There's going to be a small group of patriots. And then at that point in time, you already stated it. What's going to happen? So in my opinion, it's a lot easier to get it out there now and say, listen, this is our line. This is where it's going to stop. Because the more we allow this to progress and escalate and go further down the road, there's going to be less and less and less and less of us that are willing to stand up. Wake up, my friends. This is not a game anymore. These people are very, very serious about what they're doing. This gene therapy injection is not a joke. I read you the VAERS reports. That's online listed by the CDC. It's not a conspiracy theory. I'm not coming up with random numbers. You guys know me. I'm very factual. I try to keep everything very specific and scientific. That's one thing that they have done, and they've completely and totally butchered the term science. You hear them say it all the time now. It's science. Trust the science. The science knows what's good. Listen to the science. They completely butchered the term. It doesn't even mean anything anymore. They've used it so much. And that is why they've used it as a propaganda tool to control the populace into thinking that this is somehow some good thing that they're thrusting on the populace by telling them an experimental RNA gene therapy is okay. And you have to get it. You do not have a choice because their patient's wearing thin. Give me a break. Man.
But it's safe, man. It's safe. Rachel Maddow said it's safe, so it must be safe.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, I'm just saying. You're so right. They changed.
She's a beautiful woman. How dare you?
I'm not sure if you just insulted her or is she the. Okay, help me again. Is she the husband or is she the wife? Would somebody just. Send me an email just to let me know. I don't know. I don't know whether to say Mr. Maddow or Mrs. Maddow. Is that a bad thing?
I don't know if that's the correct pronoun, though, Doug. I think she prefers Z, Zier, and Zim. I think that's what she prefers to go to. I don't even think she likes her last name used. I don't know.
Or Z, you know, yeah. She's always a good comrade. But seriously, I don't know anymore. I actually had a business associate laugh at me. I think you'll like this. It's a female. And I said, look, you know, when I say associate, it's somebody I don't deal with every day and I don't really know. So, she said, look, can you stop by? There's some business I had to take care of. And, I said, well, make sure your husband, you know, is there. And she said, why? And I said, well, you know, I don't want to create the perception, even because you don't know these days, right? I mean, look, I don't know. Am I being too out there when I say that? Austin, I'm asking.
No, you're not. You're not at all, to be honest with you, because nowadays you're exactly right. As sad as it is, you have to be very careful who you trust and you let in your inner circle and you basically are around. I've noticed this and I've had this happen in my personal life. It's certain people you think, hey, we're good, we're cool, we're friends, we're great. And then all of a sudden something occurs and it's like, bro, there's no loyalty there at all. And the thing that we're starting to see now because of this vaxxed, unvaxxed versus battle that the media has been building, the battle, the war against the unvaxxed are spreading. No, they're not. It's not spread at all. I caught COVID a couple weeks ago. I was sick as a dog for about 3 to 4 days. Super sick. Bounced out of it. Came back about fourth, fifth day. Cleaned up. Was good. I never even missed a day of the show. I kept doing the show on the radio. I quarantined up in my man cave and ran operations from the office out of there with computer and phone and pushed through it. Now, I hammered the vitamin C and I hammered the D3 and the zinc and I ended up getting a prescription for ivermectin that I ran for a couple days. I think it helped me a little bit, but I was already pushing through it. And so it's very real right now what's going on. So I want people to realize there's definitely bioweapons being used right now.
Absolutely.
There's no question about it when you look at what this is doing to a lot of people. But then you also have to look at what's happening behind the scenes that nobody is discussing. I brought it up on our show repeatedly, and numerous other doctors have brought this up. The fact that remdesivir is being used as the standard of care for individuals brought right into the hospital is mind-boggling to me. Remdesivir is one of the most toxic antiviral intravenous drugs known to man when you look it up. It was used originally and passed through unbelievably quick with hardly any testing to be used on the West African populace during the Ebola pandemic over there. If you look at remdesivir, look it up, look up the side effects. The most common side effect from remdesivir is acute respiratory failure. The next one is organ impairment directly related to the kidneys and the liver. So you're telling me that the best thing they can come up with right now in the hospital is when somebody has an upper respiratory virus, such as SARS-CoV-2, is to give them an intravenous drug that the main side effect is respiratory failure and organ failure. That's the best you can do. And I've had three people that I personally know die in the last week and a half, 2 weeks. I got funerals all over the place. And people go, hey, it's COVID related. So I started doing some research. And, you know, I try not to be callous when it comes to death, but I've always had a very strange perception of death. I mean, the finality of it is very interesting. But other than that, I started talking to everybody. I started saying, well, what drugs were they putting them? They said, well, this and this and this. They called me up and said, what's going on? You know, I don't know what's going on. My dad's in the hospital. He went in. He's got COVID. He's in the hospital now. He's getting way worse really fast. What drugs are they on? Remdesivir. What drugs they put them on? Remdesivir. Kept hearing it over and over and over again. And I said, okay, this is obviously not coincidental. And then I started hearing other doctors talk about it. And then I had a guy come to my house the other day, Doug, come to my house for a home inspection so I could do, I'd updated some insurance on my new house that I built. And he came in, and before he even came in the house, he wasn't wearing a mask or anything. I said, I just got to know, if you're going to come in my house, I have a very strict policy. I don't allow people that are vaccinated to come in my house because they're basically your treating us like we're lepers now. If you're unvaccinated, they don't want you to do anything. So I'm just flipping the cards now. He goes, absolutely not. I'm never getting that shot. He goes, I just had COVID 3 weeks ago. I was in the hospital, deathly sick. And I said, oh, okay. Well, tell me about it. I said, I'm hearing this from all kinds of people. And he goes, yeah. So he goes, I caught it. I didn't have a script for ivermectin. My family did. I was the last one to get it. They all got through it really fast. And he said, but I wasn't. And he was overweight. He's probably about 300 pounds. And he said, you know, I'm out of shape. And he started to get into his lungs, and his oxygen started to go down. So about the fourth day, he said, okay, I'm going to the hospital. So I took him to the hospital. They got him on O2, and they immediately started him on an IV. And so he said by the second day he was in the hospital, he said he literally felt like he was dying. He couldn't function. He couldn't move. He was aching all over. He said he couldn't even cough without basically going to the bathroom on himself. Everything felt horrific. By the third day, his wife goes in to visit him, and they refuse to put him on ivermectin. We will not put him on ivermectin. And so his wife goes, what is going on with my husband? We've all had COVID, and we all bounced out of it. We bring him to the hospital, and he's getting progressively worse. So they said, well, this is what we're putting him on. So she basically reads the list of stuff off and starts researching. Top of the list, intravenous, remdesivir. She Googles it, starts looking it up. She goes to the doctor. She tells her husband, she goes, I want him off this now. Off, IV off. The doctor's like, no, it's helping. She goes, no, it's not. Here's a list of side effects that it causes. He's having all of these right now. Take him off. So they take him off. She started sneaking him in ivermectin because the doctor refused to give him ivermectin still. By the time he's in the hospital for the seventh day, he checked himself out, was completely fine, other than basically the upper respiratory infection that he was fighting from the pneumonia that happened in the hospital. And he said, he flat out told me, if I would not have been taken off remdesivir, my wife wouldn't have seen it. He said, I am 100% certain they would have killed me in that hospital. He said, the day after they pulled me off the remdesivir, I already started to feel better. I started to get a little bit of color. I could actually move. He said, that stuff is literally hell in an IV bag, and they're giving it to everybody that immediately goes in the hospital as standard of care. And we're all wondering why everybody is dying in the hospital with allegedly COVID. But nobody can understand how COVID is causing liver and kidney failure within 3 to 5 days. Upper respiratory viruses have never attacked the liver and kidneys within 5 days. You can read any type of virology reports. They don't do that. They never have done that. And everybody that gets COVID that treats it naturally and runs vitamin C and D3 and ivermectin, imagine that. They don't have elevated liver and kidney values. So why is everybody dying in the hospital? In my opinion, I personally think they're being killed by remdesivir. That's my opinion and a lot of other doctors' opinions. But I want to make sure everybody knows, if you got loved ones, if you got friends, you got family in the hospital, do your due diligence and do your research. And they're going to fight you on this. They're going to want to keep them on this drug. I don't know if the hospitals are still getting kickbacks like they did last year. I know last year I heard numerous reports that hospitals were getting up to $40,000 per person that died due to COVID. I don't know if that money's still going out or not. I haven't been able to verify it. All I know is this. there's something going on and they're not wanting anybody to know about it. And the shot is not helping. It is hurting. If the injection actually was fixing the problem, you wouldn't see Israel with an 80% infection rate of fully vaccinated individuals. You wouldn't see Gibraltar, which has a 99% vaccination rate, and they're having a full blown COVID spike right now all across the board, allegedly. There's something they're doing with this shot that's making things much, much worse. So when people say, just get the shot and get it over with, my response is, hell no. I will not take the injection. I will not comply, period. That is my answer. If you want it, come at me with it. You'll find out what happens. And that is the only way we are going to stop this crap from continuing, Doug, is to keep our immune system strong, keep our body strong, and keep our mind strong and say, no, this is my conviction. This is what I believe. I will not comply with it under any circumstances. That is the only option we have right now.
No, I agree. And, of course, we have to keep our spiritual health in mind as well. Let me ask you about ivermectin. You said you've got a prescription for it. I haven't done my homework here, and I should, but did you receive it from a local pharmacy, or was it shipped to you from a pharmacy that, you know, does that? If I can ask, if I can be so bold.
That's a question. I have a local doctor that I knew that was able to call in a prescription for me, and I had given her information out to a lot of other people. The problem is she's asked me now to no longer give her information out because I did, and I flooded her with just people, and I apologize. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. When I start telling people that you can get it, you have it, you're prescribing it. But yes, I got it from Walgreens. I got a script. They called it in. I went in. I picked it up. And let me clarify this. There's been this huge, huge, huge propaganda rhetoric that's been going on about ivermectin. Ivermectin was approved by the FDA for human usage in 1986. There has never been any cases that I know of ivermectin causing death in basically adults that are taking a prescription of ivermectin. There's been now these BS reports that Rolling Stones had to retract the other day, AP had to retract the other day, where they're coming out and saying that the hospitals are being flooded with ivermectin overdoses because people are taking horse ivermectin and almost killing themselves on it. That is a complete and total lie. Rolling Stones even had to retract the article about the hospital because the hospital came out and said there are zero overdoses of ivermectin in our hospital right now. We don't know where you came up with this from. If you need ivermectin, do not go to your horse feed store and start taking animal ivermectin. I can't say that any more clearly. The dosage is not the same and the application is not the same. There's a lot of doctors now that are learning and realizing what this stuff does. Now, I'm not saying in most cases, I don't think a lot of people need it personally. I simply took it because I had to recover as quickly as possible because I'm so busy and so many people rely on me and I essentially didn't have an option. I had to get it over with fast. And of course, if you have the option to get it, hammer it, especially when you're taking it with the zinc. You got to take high doses of zinc with the vitamin C, with the quercetin in it. That really helps the absorption of the zinc into the body with the quercetin and with the ivermectin. And of course, keeping your D3 levels through the roof. Ted, I didn't take this, and quite frankly, I should have taken this dosage because it spooked me a little bit when he told me this because it was a lot. Well, he got it right after I got it, but his effects from it were much, much more milder than I had. I had it bad for about 3 days.
Continue on that. Go ahead. Continue that line about D3. Vitamin D.
Yeah. As soon as he was around me and he started getting a sore throat, he did 100,000 IUs of D3. Now, I'm not recommending people take that dosage. I'm not telling people to do that. I'm telling you what he did, and he bounced back faster than me, and he's older than me, too. He took 100,000 IUs of D3 for 5 days. A lot of people go, dude, that is absolutely an insane amount of D3. It is. However, D3 takes a while to build up huge levels in the system. This is not something you take on a regular basis, that dosage. He did it for 5 days. It's almost impossible to become D3 toxic within 5 to 6 days. You have to take those type of dosages for months in order to get your D3 levels overly elevated where it can become toxic. But all I know is that's what he did, and I did not do that. I only ran, you know, to about 20, 30,000 IUs, a couple caps a day like normal, and hammered the vitamin C. That's what he did different. And again, I'm not saying that's what you do, but what I am saying is this. There is definitely something out there right now. It's no joke. It's definitely a bioweapon. Fauci, the bobblehead Fauci, has gotten busted again with the Freedom of Information Act that just came out. Now, if you guys, if you saw that,
900 pages, The Intercept, 900 pages. Yep.
900 pages, blatantly showing that they worked on making a SARS-CoV-2, making a chimera virus. I mean, they spliced it from different types of viruses and made a specific bioweapon that would be transferred to humans. For, if you want to know who's running the show, you just got to look at bobblehead Fauci. The man cannot be fired. He cannot be touched. He has the highest paid salary out of the entire U.S. government. There is so much compromised information that's out on him, and yet he still is on television every single day doing interview after interview after interview, rolling about how you need to do this and you need to do that and you need to do this. Flip-flop Fauci, and people are still listening to him. Then why do you think people have become so complacent and just continue to listen to this still? I mean, have you figured it out?
That's a deliberate pause there. I'm thinking. Help me out on that. Go ahead.
Yeah. I can't figure it out. I can't figure it out.
It's a mystery. I'm telling you, it's a mystery. Yeah.
I guess it's one of those things, you put it in the mystery box, you put it on the shelf, and you just accept it as that. That's the only thing I can come up with it. Because anybody that has even a moderately decent IQ and can use mild critical thinking skills can see that there's obviously something going on. I mean, even if you don't know everything, you got to have your head so far up your butt you can't even see daylight if you actually think Fauci is continually telling everybody how to be healthy and safe when the man literally keeps telling everybody to do opposite things back and forth. And remember, he is a huge holder of Moderna stock.
No.
He is poised to get numerous shareholder payout by Moderna.
No.
He probably is going worth hundreds of millions of dollars by the time this pandemic is over with, if it's ever over with. I think we're kind of watching. I personally think, Doug, if we don't stand up in aggregate right now, if we don't make a stand right now, I don't think it's going to end. I think it's going to go on into perpetuity, and they're going to roll it into climate change. They're going to roll into more lockdowns. There was an article that they put out on the Survival blog, and he made a really actually accurate comment. When I read it, I went, I hate reading it. And then I went, man, he's right. And he said, what's coming, in my opinion, is going to be a combination of extreme propaganda, which we just witnessed last night, fear-mongering, which we witnessed last night, false flag attacks, which they're already doing that on a regular basis, fake virus attacks, basically telling us there's another Delta wave, there's another variant, and then another flu season due to the unvaccinated. And he said at that point in time, he thinks there's going to be some type of environment that sets up for a full-blown financial collapse, like making 2008 look like a walk in the park. And he said then they're going after the children by planning an injection of every single child through the public school system, beginning at 12 and older, which they're doing right now, and now targeting everything down to babies and infants. And, you know, I thought I've seen the most of what California can do. Because, you know, most of the time you're kind of like, I mean, you don't think California can get any worse. And then they go out and they completely redeem themselves and do something even stupider that can't even get topped. And you're like, oh, this has got to be it. Oh, no, they'll do it again. I just saw the article that came out yesterday. And it said Los Angeles School Board has voted unanimously to mandate COVID vaccines for all students 12 and older in a unanimous decision by the nation's second largest school district in the country. The board for the Los Angeles Unified School District voted to mandate injections on students for Thursday with no members dissenting. The move will require all eligible students to become vaccinated and provide proof of vaccination to the school, while the kids who just turned 12 will be made to receive their first shot with no less than 30 days after their birthday. What?
Let's rock.
What? Yeah. It, it, any more clear, Doug, where they're going with this?
No, of course not. No, you know, and all kidding aside, and all lightheartedness aside. Okay, so again, I'm going to change my tagline where truth can't be silenced because obviously, you know, they can pull the plug. But, you know, if you're not pissed off right now, then you're not paying attention. If they can do that, and I'll tell you something, you come near my, well, I don't have any young, minor children. You come near my grandchildren with your Fauci jab or your, you know, great reset jab. All right. Be prepared for a fight. And if you people, not the audience, because I know the audience, I mean, pretty much, but if the people out there who are okay with this, don't respond with force, and I mean decisive force, then you're not doing your job. You know, what was it? Patrick Henry said, if this is treason, let's make the most of it. Okay. Let's rock. Giddy up. That's all I'm saying.
100%. I've said this all last year. I said they're going for the kids. That's why they're still in numerous states forcing kids to wear masks while they walk around school. Well, I mean, these little 5 and 6 year old kids, no facial expressions, no smiles, no nothing. They're training them. And now you're taking 12 year olds, which, by the way, the 12 to 16 year old clinical trials, they have really never even been fully released on what happened to the kids for the Pfizer injection for these young kids. That only happened a few months ago. We have zero idea what this does to neurological development, to brain development, to reproductive systems. You're talking about now taking kids that haven't even gone into puberty and giving them experimental gene therapy and telling them if they don't take it, they can't be in the school system. Are you kidding me right now? Has LA lost its mind? Is that something that's supposed to be acceptable? If they came out and they said, you know what, we've been looking at this COVID injection and we've done 50 clinical trials and it's been out for the last 20 years and we have 100% certainty that it stops the spread of COVID completely and there's virtually no side effects from it, I would say, yeah, okay, maybe. But then I'm like, no, you don't mandate a shot, so I'm still not going with it. I don't care what you say. But for them to take something that's only been approved for a couple months that we have no idea what this is going to do in 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 5 year, 10 year is complete and total child abuse. Just like the teacher out in Las Vegas that got basically suspended now for taping masks on kids' faces because they weren't wearing them properly. Did the 5 different kids scotch tape up their nose, on their forehead, on their side, tape the mask on their face. The kid walks to the superintendent's office to pick up some papers. Why do you have tape all over your face, son? 9 year old kid.
It calls for a beating. To me.
Oh my gosh, dude. Yeah. I went to that article. I said, boy, you tell me that you put tape on my son's face.
I'm going to the mask? Yeah.
Face,
yeah.
Now.
It's on, baby. You know, I'm going to get comments saying, well, you know, you're a big, tough guy behind the microphone. Well, try me outside of the microphone. You do that to any of my grandkids. Okay. Of course, I think we've got to come to terms with the indoctrination system as well. The people in Los Angeles, you know, by the way, stolen elections have consequences. All of those arbitrary rules are being made by, people either in the stolen elected position, or administrative position, right? So if you don't push back, this is what you get. But Los Angeles, are they – I mean, boy, there's so many things crossing my mind right now. What do you recommend people do? I mean, obviously, pull your kids out of public government indoctrination centers. Pull them out, right? And
oh, yeah.
But what else can we do? Because we – in a sense, I don't know. Should we have to do that? Here's the thing. My question would be, should we have to pull our children out of school? I mean, our county executive here said there's a mask mandate for all schools, public and private. Okay. So talking with another patriot, well the kids should then homeschool. But wait a second. If I'm paying money to send my child to a private school. And some dumbass communist county executive says, you know, there's a mask mandate for a private school. Should I have to homeschool my children? Or maybe is there a different way to handle that? Austin, I'm asking you.
The answer is, it's kind of a double-sided answer. The answer is no, we should not have to do that. We're paying property taxes that pay for the school system, and they should be taking care of our children like we're paying them to do. The second part of that answer is right now, yes. My opinion is I would pull every single kid out of the school system and let it collapse on itself. The reason being, if your child's in a house and the house is on fire, and you know that house is going to burn down on your child and eventually kill your child, are you going to say, you know what, I'm just going to wait for the fire department to come in and fix it, baby. Maybe they can get it fixed. I don't know. Maybe the fire will just slow down. Eventually my kid can get out. Maybe he'll come out of it okay. The hell no. That's not what you are going to run in there and you are going to get your child. Even if you get burned, you don't care. You're going to save your child and pull them out of the house because it's collapsing on top of them. That's what we have in a lot of the school systems right now across the country. There are some school areas, they're still really good. LA, some of these other places, horrific. And what's happening is now the school systems have become such insanely aggressive communist indoctrination camps. There's no way to fix it right now except through aggressive civil disobedience, lawsuits, and showing them that we will not comply. When LA County did this yesterday, that's the first thing LA needs to do is everybody needs to pull their kid out. Then they all need to have a gigantic rally, and I mean an aggressive rally, stating that this will not be appropriate. None of the kids will be injected. Nobody is complying with this. And if the school board decides that they don't want to reverse their opinion, then you start filing lawsuit on lawsuit on lawsuit on lawsuit. At the same time, your child is getting a very healthy, good education at maybe a private school, a charter school, a Christian school, homeschool, whatever other options you have. But you're exactly right. We should not have to do this right now. We shouldn't have to do a lot of stuff right now. We live in a republic, last time I checked. But apparently that's news to a lot of the communist individuals that are running the school systems. Civil disobedience is key. I watched a video the other day. I forgot what state it was in. And basically this school mandated all of the high school students had to wear masks. And the parents showed up and the kids showed up. There's probably about 30, 40 kids, probably about the same amount of parents, and they were not wearing masks. And there were two guys standing in the doorway with masks on. Basically, I guess it was like the superintendent or the principal or something. And they were saying, you cannot come in. You are not allowed in school without a mask on. And they said, no, we're not wearing a mask. And there's a sheriff there. And the guy that's videotaping one of the parents, he walks over to the sheriff and he goes, are you going to arrest us if we walk in there without a mask?
And
the sheriff looks at him. He goes, dude, that's a health ordinance. And that's basically the school board ordinance. He said, that has nothing to do with us. If you don't want to walk in there with a mask on, don't walk in there with a mask on. We're not going to do anything about it. We're just standing here to make sure if anybody gets in a physical altercation. And so they turn around and go, dude, walk in. And so the kids basically get all squared up and bow up on the superintendent. Everybody stand in the door and say, dude, move. We're going into school. Move. Move. And finally, they get out of the way and everybody walks in. That is how a lot of this stuff has to be handled. The only way to handle a bully is by being aggressive back. If a bully comes up to you and says, I want your lunch money today, son. And you go, oh, I'm sorry, master. Here's my dollar. Don't bully me anymore. Okay. Next day comes up. I want your dollar again. Well, I gave it to you yesterday. I don't care. I lied. I'm going to take your money again. If you continue to comply with a bully, it never ends. It never has. It never will. The only thing that bully understands is getting hit right in the nose. Like Mike Tyson used to say, everybody's got a plan until they get hit in the face.
Yep.
And that's a true story. That is what, and I'm not encouraging people to go get physical fist fights. So don't miss now. I don't want our listeners telling people to go get a fight. What I'm saying is using that as an analogy. We're dealing with bullies right now. And the only thing bullies understand is saying, no, I'm not compliant. I'm not doing what you're saying. I will not listen to anything you have to say, period. That is the only option we have right now. And I think that's one of the best things we can do in the school system. Like the same thing Dad and I did going to the Polk County School Board with dozens of other moms and basically just completely grilling these clowns that were up there about the mask mandate. And of course they dropped it.
You know, this is the only way to do it, I believe, is at the grassroots level. Because there's 330 yes. million Americans. And you figure, okay, let's say 80 million Americans are of a conservative bias. All right? If freedom understanding, 80 million, we'll say. And of that 80 million, I don't know. Let's say 10% at this point now, because of the recent events, are saying, hey, you know what? I'm not going to take this anymore. That's 8 million compared to the, what, 535 and plus 2 and 10 and whatever, less than 600 people who are ruling us, ruling over us in Washington. Those are pretty good odds. I think we can whoop them. Now, on a local level, the same, I would venture to say the same, depending on geography, but roughly the same odds. Even in the so-called liberal bastions like Los Angeles, I would suspect that there's probably a good number of people that could stand up and say, no. Step aside there, you know, Tubbo. We're going in. And this is what I think that we have to do. Kind of like Breitbart in a war. Okay. This, we're at war. Because if we don't solve it this way, and sometimes I believe that sometimes reasonable people have to do, shall I say, unreasonable things? Things to drive home a point. And some others might think it's unreasonable, but I think it's patriotic because we have to save the country. And if we can't save the country, or we have to save ourselves actually at this point, and then save the country. But and I think too, give away our, give access to our consent to having our DNA changed. This injection does change the DNA, or does impact the DNA, does it not?
Yes, it does have an impact on it because it tells your cells basically start producing spike proteins. Okay. It makes you become a pathogen production manufacturing site. So the lie that they told everybody is it doesn't do anything to you at all. That is complete and total lie. It makes you produce spike proteins, which in turn, yes, that means it does something to you on a cellular level that has changed. You're not just being injected with an external compound and body's having a response to it. You're actually changing your body and telling it to do something with the RNA that goes into it.
Okay. So at that point, or at this point, I think that we're left with a personal decision that we all have to make. And you know what, folks? I'm not going to make it for you. Austin's not going to make it for you, but you know what you have to do, in my view. And again, I'm not advocating, and we're not advocating for violence, but again, we are reasonable people. You close off the dialogue. You close off our ways to communicate. You close off our ways to disagree, dissent. Well, then you get what's coming to you. And on this eve of 9/11, any thoughts as we enter into the commemorative 20 years commemorative of 9/11, the attacks on America, which I believe is when the Great Reset went kinetic. Any thoughts on that in the final few minutes we have?
Well, I saw something last night that was interesting. I saw it online. With there's a football game. I'm not a big fan of NFL or anything, but they were posting something about the national anthem. And ironically enough, the Bucks game last night, nobody was kneeling. Imagine that. They realized what happens to the ratings when they act like buffoons. And they showed a clip of the New York One World Trade Center. And I found that to be very interesting because that's the name of the one that they tore down. And 9/11 is becoming more and more obviously it was a horrific event, but when you start taking a step back now after, like you just said, 20 years and you look back, it was such a symbolic situation as well, where you had the two towers, you were huge. They were symbolic of New York and they both were completely demolished to the ground. And then they build up a new building called the One World Trade Center. And what's interesting about that is me showing them the symbolism of them tearing down the old America and bringing in the New World Order, just like the lady said in Australia. And this is why it's so important that we teach our children about history. They want to ruin these kids. They want to control these kids. And I saw a stat the other day and I checked it. And I was shocked because they keep telling us, well, the kids have to wear masks. The kids have to do this. They have to do that. To date, just in Chicago, from January to August in Chicago, there have been 280 children minors shot in Chicago. To date, right now, there have been 214 children in the entire United States that have died from COVID in the last 18 months. Yet I haven't heard one single peep from any news station about all the kids that have been shot in Chicago this year. Not once. But remember, apparently it's fire protection.
Yeah, exactly. Folks, healthmasters.com. Austin Brower. Austin, thank you so very much. May God bless you and have a great weekend. I'll be talking to you. I got to place an order. So, Doug Five, we going to do it?
It's on. Yep.
All right.
Yeah, we'll do it.
All right, folks. Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. God bless each and every one of you. And may God save the United States of America. Good night.